in Revelation 15, verse 4, he says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." So in this lesson, I'd like to see some of the ways in which we can glorify his name. And remember, glorifying his name is not just the name Jesus or God or the Father. It's glorifying his authority. In Psalms 86 and verse 9, Psalms 86 and verse 9, "Which soul will not one day glorify God?" He says, "All nations shall all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name." So one day everyone will glorify Jesus. And of course, they'll glorify the Father in the fact that they glorify Jesus, because it is to glorify God the Father. But not everyone will see the Father. In Psalms 86 and verse 12, David has in mind to glorify God forever. Psalms 86 and verse 12, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." So once we learn how to glorify the name of God, we'll need to do it forevermore. And of course we want to. And then we need to find out the different ways that we can glorify God. In Isaiah 45, verses 21 to 23, he makes it even more clear that one day every knee will bow before the Lord. "Tell ye," Isaiah 45, 21, "and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." Then he says, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth, in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." So doesn't matter who existed, they'll all bow the knee before the Lord, and every tongue will swear. So Romans the 14th chapter, he quotes this from Isaiah, Romans the 14th chapter, verses 11 and 12. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord," which is more or less like saying that's certainly going to happen, "every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." So here we will, and of course Jesus will be the judge, but the Father is going to be judging everyone through Christ. So we will bow before the Father and bow before Christ. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 9 through 11, Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So in the name of Jesus, it doesn't say we're going to be bowing to Jesus, though we probably will, but at the name of, is with the authority of Jesus, every knee should bow. For things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, so everything. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even those that are going to enter torment will confess Jesus is Lord. Now, he won't be their king necessarily, as Brother John pointed out. Being king of the kingdom is king of his kingdom, and that is all those that are in Christ. But here, Jesus is Lord to everyone, and every tongue will confess it. And this will be, notice, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus is doing everything he does in order to glorify the Father, and that should be our mind, just like it is Christ's. In John, the 12th chapter, verses 27 to 32, John 12, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. So there's the reason why he's come. Father, glorify thy name. So there's what's in Jesus' mind. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So this voice then, that he's glorified it and will glorify it again, is for our sake as well as for their sake. So John 17, verse 1, Jesus also wanted to be glorified and requested the Father to glorify him. John 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So the hour has come. He's going to die on the cross, and then he's going to glorify the Father, and the Father will glorify him. And the Father glorified him in the resurrection and in making him Lord over all, giving him authority in heaven and in earth. And then with that glory, Jesus now is glorifying the Father. And he will always do that. And that needs to be our mind. Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 12 through 22. What is going to be the only important thing after everything is said and done? Verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon all the oaks of Bashan, and he's comparing men to all these different things, and upon all the high mountains, upon all the high hills, or all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, upon every fenced wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and they were extolled, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the result, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So God is above everyone, as the heavens are above the earth. His thoughts are, he is. God alone shall be exalted in that day. So anything we get in that day will come from the Father. The idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of rocks and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they have made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of rock, out of the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? So there will come a day when we will only wish that we had served the Lord. In Isaiah 66, verse 18, Isaiah 66 and verse 18, why will all the nations glorify the Lord? Of course, he's creator. In verse 18, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. So that's going to have to be for Christ, because no man will see the Father that's not saved. So all men shall see his glory. Those that are saved will see Christ's glory, and all men will see Christ's glory. In Revelation, the fifth chapter, verses 11 to 14, how long will the Father and the Son receive glory? Revelation 5, verse 11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let's read that again. saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And those words "forever and ever" are into the ages of the ages. And that's the longest time that he describes anywhere that I can find in the book. So it sounds like this will never end. And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew 25, we know verses 31 and 32 well, I believe. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him," all of them, "then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So there's going to be a great deal of glory there. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." So all men will be there, the good and the bad, and they'll see his glory, Jesus' glory, but they won't see the Father's glory. Only those that are saved and forever will see the Father's glory. Isaiah 42 and verse 8, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." So I am the Lord, he is superior, that is his name. So he's also called Jehovah, the existing one, he's also called Lord. "And my glory will I not give to another." So anytime we give glory to men, we're not very wise. We need to glorify God and not men. What is man to be accounted of, whose breath is in his nostrils? In Exodus, the 34th chapter, in verse 14, Exodus 34 and verse 14, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." So God is jealous, and as we read before, "I will not give my glory to another." So anytime we glorify any man whatsoever, we're displeasing God, because all glory belongs to God. God can glorify us, but all man's glory should be for God. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 1 to 4, "And we should not be willing to receive any glory from men. We should receive only glory from God." 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy," and that's God jealousy. "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, whom you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you may bear well with him." So jealousy is what God is. He is a jealous God. And Paul has espoused these, engaged them to Christ for a marriage. And if they're unfaithful to Christ, then that is something that is very displeasing to him. We need to receive no glory and give no glory to anyone except from the Father. In Numbers, the 5th chapter, verse 30, Numbers chapter 5 and verse 30, "Is the man justified in being jealous of his wife? Or when the spirit of jealousy cometh upon him," that is the man, "he be jealous over his wife, and shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute upon her all this law." So there was a law to see if the wife had been unfaithful or not. So was the man then right to be jealous for something that was given to him? And of course, he was. In Psalms, the 50th chapter, verses 14 and 15, Psalms chapter 50, 14, God has a pattern that he directs men to follow. Offer unto God thanksgiving, there's glorifying God, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So when God delivers us from the dangers that we're in, we need to glorify God. And if we realize and believe truly that God is the one that delivers us, we will glorify him if we're righteous. Psalms 50, verse 16. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth? So even just taking God's covenant in their mouth, that's not fitting for those that are wicked. And we hear men taking God's name and his statutes in their mouths, but they have no intention of obeying them. Well, the Lord is going to hold them responsible for their taking his covenants in their mouth. In Psalms 50, verse 23, if we teach the Lord's word, we need to follow that same word. Psalms 50, verse 23, how hard is it to glorify God? Whoso offers praise glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. So any time that we offer praise, we glorify God. And we can tell many things that glorify God and that we can praise about God. In John, the 16th chapter, and verse 14, John 16 and verse 14, here's another way that we can glorify God. He shall glorify me, that is the Holy Spirit, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So in verse 13, the Holy Spirit then would not speak of himself, but what he heard he would speak, and he would hear words from Christ. And that would glorify Christ when they spoke the words that the Holy Spirit got from Jesus. So how can we then glorify Jesus? We can glorify the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And Jesus said he received all these from the Father in verse 15. So we can glorify the Lord in this way by speaking the words of God. In John 17, verse 5, Jesus then requested this glory from the Father. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So Jesus was not looking for man's glory at all. He was looking for the Father's glory. And we need to do the same thing. And what he means by glorifying thou with thine own self, maybe we don't understand that fully, but Jesus did. And we need to have the Father's glory. In John, the 21st chapter, verses 18 and 19, John 21, 18 and 19, verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying but what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So Jesus told Peter he was going to glorify God by his death. And apparently he's going to be killed. And that is another way that the apostles could glorify God. So if we also are killed or die because of the Lord, would that not also be another way that we glorify God? In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. So that should be our mind there, that we are going to glorify God in these different ways. And so far we've seen that if we praise the good, we glorify God. If we speak his words, we glorify God. And if we die for him, we glorify God. In Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 20 and 21, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So it's encouraging to see that we can glorify God throughout all ages. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. If we learn to glorify him on earth, we'll be able to glorify him in heaven. And verse 21, the glory will be in the church. That'll be by the church, by those who are part of the body of Christ. And that will be through Christ Jesus. And that will be throughout all ages. And then again, into the ages of the ages. So this will never end, but we first of all need to learn to glorify God in all these ways he gives us so that we can continue this forever and ever. And as we mentioned, after this world is done or after we leave this world, what are all these things on the world going to mean to us? But if we learn to glorify God, that will mean eternity to us. In Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse 7, there's another way that we can glorify God. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now, that doesn't seem like us doing much, but we don't receive each other just because we like each other. We receive each other because the other belongs to God. And so we're receiving Christ and we're receiving God when we receive God's child. So we shouldn't think of each other, as being just helping somebody. We should particularly desire to help those that are belonging to God. And notice we receive, as Christ received us, to the glory of God. So we do glorify God by receiving each other. So if we have a problem with somebody or don't respect them, we need to remember Christ has received us, he has received them, and if we don't receive them as Christ receives us, he may not receive us. We need to receive each other, no matter what's happened. In Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 6, Ephesians 1, God chooses his children to the praise of his glory. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So that's what the Father's done for us. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he wants us to be holy, set apart for him, without blame, with no sin, before him in love. Not just without sin, but also with his love. Having been predestinated, that is determined beforehand, unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and notice, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So all of this that he has done for us, predestined us to be adopted as children, literally that's being placed as children by Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He wants us, and that would be to the praise of the glory of his favor, his goodness, his kindness, wherein he has made us acceptable by the beloved. So in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, no matter what we do, it should be to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So what should our mind be constantly throughout the day, every day? whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, we can glorify him. And if we obey his commandments, and if we're good employees, we can glorify him and do, if it's for him. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, even when we give thanks to God, we glorify him. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. So in context here, these brethren are giving money to the church in Jerusalem. And those in Jerusalem are going to be thankful for what they get because they know it's coming from the Lord, because these brethren obey the command of God and they wanted to help with a willing heart. And so they can thank God for all the help that they give and thank God for the brethren who are doing the giving. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 10 and 11, here is another way we can glorify God. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that glorifies the Father. And it doesn't isn't just when we're, just before we're baptized, we need to confess him as Lord. And the Lord is supreme. So when we confess Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth, we glorify the one that gave him that authority. So in all these things, we are glorifying the Father. In Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, before we can be saved, we need to glorify God by confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus. That thou, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we glorify God when we confess that Jesus is Lord. Why? Because in our mind, our heart, he has the authority, and we're going to obey everything he says. And if we call him Lord, and we don't do the things that he says, he asks the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say? So it's hypocrisy. If we say Lord, Lord, and don't do what he says, it's hypocrisy. If we confess that Jesus is Lord with our lips and don't intend to obey all of his commandments. In Revelation, the 4th chapter, verse 11, Revelation 4 and verse 11, the Father is worthy to receive all honor and glory forever and ever. Notice the all there. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We keep reading in chapter 5, Revelation 5, 11 to 14. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So we are authorized to praise God in all these ways. He's worthy. And we're able to praise the Lamb and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So chapter, John, the 4th chapter, in verse 23. John 4 and verse 23, our Father searches for all those who will glorify him by worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So here's another way we can glorify his name. So the Father is seeking those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. We're looking now in Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 24 and 25. It's not that God needs our worship, But we need to worship God. It's us who need him. In Acts 17, 24 and 25, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshiped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. So why does he want men then to seek to worship him? We are the ones who need to worship so that we willingly submit to his authority. So in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 12, unless men love to worship him, God will send a strong delusion. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we need to make a choice here. Either we love the Lord's truth, and we love the fact that he's created us, and we love the fact that we should honor and glorify his name forever and ever, or he will send a strong delusion and we'll find ourselves where we don't want to be. In Romans, the first chapter, verses 21 to 23, Romans 1, 21 to 23, because that when they knew God, and verse 20 says God has showed himself to everybody, this eternal nature. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So then, how does God respond to that? In verse 21, they know God, they know his eternal power, and they know his control over this universe, but they don't glorify him as the owner and creator. And so then God then gives them up in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So we're seeing these things now. And when a man does not glorify God as God, then God sends him to Satan and gives him over to Satan. In verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. How? Because they didn't glorify him as God, so then God sent a strong delusion, and that's how they changed the truth of God into a lie, by not glorifying him as God. And so then the result was, when they're delivered to Satan, they worship the creation. That's that word creature here. What is created? More than the creator. And that in the Greek can be rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. So we have a choice here. We can either glorify God, or we can glorify men, or we can glorify the things that God has made. But what comparison is there to the one who made all these things to what he's made? Even men, what are men compared to the Creator who made all these things? Who deserves all the praise and the honor and the glory forever and ever? And why do men not consider this? And of course, the answer is they love these things on the world. And the Lord has said, if anyone loved the world or the things of the world, love of the Father is not in them. So we need to consider God is glorious, and his glory is far above anything we can imagine. And why would we not want to glorify the Father forever and ever? So in all that we do, whether it's in word or the things that we do, we need to glorify the God of heaven forever and ever. We have the closing song.